Hello and welcome to the Vegan Body Revolution Show. I am your host, Thomas Tadlock from veganbodyrevolution.com, where I show you how to achieve your ultimate dream body on a 100% plant-based diet. Thank you so much for tuning in today. This is part three in a three-part series with the beautiful, wonderful, stunning Pam Kalstead. She's 48 years old, and she is a figure champion. She just recently won first place and the overall in the Masters division in the figure category at the Naturally Fit Super Show here in Austin, Texas. And we have been talking with her, got to know a little bit about her in episode number one, why she went vegan. And in the last episode, episode number two, Pam laid out her meal-by-meal meal plan to get that incredibly hot physique. And in this installment, she's going to tell us exactly how she trains and works out to achieve that beautiful fitness model figure physique. So we got Pam on the line right now. Pam, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's an honor to have you on the show. So we've been talking about your diet in the last episode. Now let's put it all together and let's talk about your workout routine.
Okay. It's a pretty simple routine. I don't do a lot of fancy stuff. I do a nice simple routine.
I love simple. Simple, I think, is doable, and it's long-lasting. So do you break it up by the week? Like, do you have a Monday workout, Tuesday workout, Thursday?
I do. I break it up usually body parts, and I do different body parts during different days of the week. I also kind of like to cycle it, so I don't go heavy. I work by myself. I don't have a spotter, so I will do heavy, and then I sort of do a moderate workout weight-wise, and then I do a sort of a light workout, and then I cycle it back through so that I'm never really over highly taxing my body. So I can do more. I can move more weight if I do more moderate lifting. But I do have to do some heavy lifting every now and then, as long as I can do it by myself, because I'm without a spotter. So I try to get as many as I can in without overtaxing my body, but give myself a chance to rest and recover. I do some kind of light weeks so that I can build back up for those heavier days.
So you do resistance and strength training, and you do cardio
Absolutely.
Too?
It sounds really bad. I can't believe I'm going to confess this, but I'm not a big fan of cardio. Even that's what I preach every day that I'm at work for people to do. I used to kind of joke and say, well, for strength, I lift weights, and for cardio, I lift weights faster. But I do add some cardio. I'm a smaller person. I lose muscle kind of on the quicker side. So I do some steady state, but very, very seldom. If I'm doing cardio, it's going to be more of a HIIT style training and like a plyometric routine as well. Otherwise, it's just, I feel like I just shrink so much when I get on on a treadmill or a bike and go for, 45 minutes to an hour. Some people have told me they've done more than that, and I could not imagine.
Well, when you train intensely using weights and doing resistance training, it forces your cardiovascular system to adapt to be able to deliver the oxygen, the blood, the nutrients to those working muscles. I mean, I created a physique that got me a spot on MTV in 2003 as one of their hottest bodies, and I didn't do any cardio. I never did cardio up to that point. I was able to get completely lean and ripped without doing 1 ounce of cardio. I just lifted really, really, really heavy weights all the time, and fed myself the best diet that I knew how back then.
And I think that's sort of the path I prefer to take. I did cardio because I know that I preach it to my patients, so I really have a hard time when they ask me, what do I do for cardio? I really can't tell them nothing because I'm making them do it. So mostly because they can't do the lifting. They cannot work out an intensity, the strength training to supplement it. So I do some just so I can keep myself honest when I talk to my patients. But I do it almost reluctantly, but I do it.
Well, I think if you want to be technically correct, if you ever go through periods of training, either through the week or maybe once in a while, where you're keeping your rest level and your heart rate up, you technically aren't doing cardiovascular exercise. What you're not doing when you're doing weights is aerobic exercise.
There's a difference between aerobic and cardio. That not all cardio is aerobic, but all aerobic is cardio. And you don't have to do aerobic exercise to get a cardiovascular effect.
Yeah, I try to get most of. I get a superset, so I get a huge cardiovascular benefit. Without actually having to get on a treadmill or stationary bike, or so I can. I love to superset on those days that you know I'm doing lighter. I superset as much as I can, just because I just. I feel like I'm burning my muscles because they're kind of being pumped a lot, but my heart rate stays up the whole exercise.
Yep, and that illustrates and supports my statement. I agree with you 100%. So you've got heavy, moderate, and light days. So let's kind of take you through what a typical week looks like for you. Are you doing the majority of your workouts moderate, or the majority of them heavy, or the majority of them light, or are they equal across the board?
They're kind of moderate to heavy weights. I don't like doing a lot of light weights. Once again, I'm only if I really feel like I have to lean out or something, and I'm just not leaning, I may do a little more light. But most of them are moderate. I mean, I do anywhere from, I always call them 4-10s. I don't know why, because it's never what I really do, but I always put down on my workout sheets 4-10s. But
four
I end
sets,
up doing anywhere from six. Yeah, that's what I always write down, as if that's what I'm going to do. So it's like the minimum I should have to do, I think, is I put down my minimum. But sometimes if I start off with a weight that's too light, I'll go until I can't. Like it may turn in, it's supposed to be only 10, but I can pump out 5 or 8 more, then it becomes 15 or 18 reps.
Okay.
And then as the weight increases, sometimes I'm not as strong as I think I am, and so it becomes 6 or 8 reps. So... But I guess my 4-10 is really just my minimum suggestion for myself. I don't know why but that's just sort of what I always put down. I look at every workout that I've done. It almost always says 4 times 10. But yet when I look at what I've done, it's very seldom 4 times 10.
That's hilarious. So it's really 4 by 6 to 15 based on what you just
really
told me.
It really is. Yeah.
That's funny. That's hilarious.
It really is. But it's just sort of, I don't know why, I think it's just a safety net. I don't know, but at least it's my minimum. So it has to be heavy enough to where if I'm doing 15, I know my weights are way too light. And so I bump my weight up so I can, you know, get 10 in. If 10 should be hard, 10 should not be a doable and I can do 2 more. So I try to make 10 be my ultimate goal that I can possibly lift at that weight. And that's like the maximum I should be able to move that weight as 10 reps.
So you're going for maybe, failure, muscular failure, just about every time?
Well, I wouldn't really say muscular failure, but pretty darn close to it, really severe discomfort. Right before I lose my form, because I've injured my shoulder in the past, so I'm kind of really good about form. Every now and then I pull a cheater lat pull in, you know, I'm kind of swinging a little bit more and using a little bit, because it kind of, if I go to 90 plus pounds on a lat pull down, then it pulls me up whenever the arm goes up. It's hard for me to, cause most of the benches are too, they're not made for people my size.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I have wiggle room in almost all machines. So I have to be kind of careful. Every now and then I'll let it pull me up and kind of help, you know, gravity help pull me down a little bit with it. So I do a little cheater at the very end sometimes if I'm tired and heavy. So I go pretty darn close to muscular failure. I try to, unless it's a light day, and then I just go until it burns, and then I'm fine. It doesn't really make me fail. I could probably do more, but when it starts to burn in that area, that'll be my cue to stop and do my other thing that I'm doing with it, supersetting with it.
That's good. You're so adorable. If we ever work out together, I'll make sure I'll bring a phone book so that we can set that down on the seat for you. That'll fix the problem.
I had my old trainer. He had extra pads. He was underneath me and behind me and everything else because he had to accommodate me because I couldn't fit in the machine.
Oh, well, okay. So you said that your routine is very simple. So let's break it down. Let's look at what Monday looks like for you. What would be a typical Monday workout look like?
Can you repeat that?
Absolutely. Let's take a look at what a typical Monday workout would look like for you?
So a week of my workouts.
Monday.
Oh, Monday, just a Monday. So Monday, I usually do legs because Mondays are a hard day to get people started. And it's, I think, a good workout to do. It makes you feel powerful. I think when I do legs, it makes me feel powerful. So I do Mondays first. It sort of gets me motivated to start my week. So I'll do a 10-minute warm-up on a treadmill or something like that, just kind of get some blood flowing. It's usually up an incline or walking backwards, something just to keep my mind going and making me think about what I'm doing and what I'm going to do. And
see, you do cardio.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't really call it cardio. My heart rate's not really that high. I'm walking backwards up a hill on a treadmill, kind of thinking about what I'm going to do for strength training. So that's even the most cardio I get done in most days. I will count that if I have to keep myself. I'll use that in my own thinking when I talk to my patients. When I say, yeah, I did cardio today.
Right.
I will cheat and use
it. It counts.
That.
You did 10 minutes.
It counts. So on leg day, I could do mostly compound, what I would consider compound movements, that requires a little bit more than one joint. And then I'll do more of an isolation move.
So let's go through them. Let's go through them exercise by exercise.
So I love starting with leg press. When I'm going to do it, it depends on which gym I go back to. Two gyms at the hospital that I work. So if I'm in one gym, I do a leg press. And in the other gym, I'll do a hack squat. So, but usually the leg press, I love to do it. I kind of warm up the first one. It kind of tells me where I'm at weight-wise. Usually start about, I put about a couple hundred pounds maybe on it, somewhere in there, see how I feel strength-wise. And then I just keep adding weights until I can do about 8. So it depends upon my strength day. It either stays around, start 200. It might go to 350. Sometimes I get a little over 400 on it.
And so you doing about four sets of these?
I do 4 sets total. So even the first one, the 200 pounds, it may be one the first set, and it may be, 12 or 15 reps. And then I do 3 more. I progressively get heavier if I need to. I don't like to go from 200 to 350 or 400. I usually add about a plate at a time. And then when I hit about 400, that's when it can get really tough for me to do. So I don't do it with the spotter. So I've got to make sure I have the strength to do it. And I like to superset that with calf raises. I like to do it because I use the same weight when I do calf raises. So I'll do a set of leg press and then I go right into my calf raises and then I rest.
Now you're set and rep scheme. Set
same way. So
your set and rep scheme, is that pretty much the same for all of your exercises? Four by 6 to 15?
Most of them are the same. I do most of them the same for whatever I'm doing. Unless, like, if I'm doing a lighter weight, then I'll, or for my lightweight days, yeah, I just go up a little bit higher. I'll do about 15 reps, 12 to 15 reps. On really heavy days, I can go down to 6. But 8 to 10, really, I respond well to that. I think it's because I lose the fear of injury, because if I go too heavy and by myself, I'm afraid I'll lose control and lose form and injure myself. So I think it's a mental block for me. And then if I go too light, it just sort of seems to just sort of keep me lean. It doesn't really seem to add me a lot of muscle, but I do like to have a little bit of recovery. So if I can keep around 8 to 10 reps, if I really push them out hard, then it seems my body responds well to that.
Cool. Right on. So 8 to 10 is your sweet spot then. All right. So then you do your machine, either it's a hack squat or leg press, a superset with some calf raises. What's next?
Mm-hmm. Bar squats. Smith machine if someone's in the squat rack, which I'd rather do the squat rack, and then I just go over there and I do squats, and I still do 4 sets of and try to get 10 reps in each of those that I can. Some days I go really low, so my weights may be a little bit lower, and some days I just will change my foot position, so sometimes I'm a little bit narrower in my foot placement, sometimes I'm a little bit wider, sometimes I'm sumo, just to kind of hit different areas of legs, target different areas, just, and plus it keeps it different. I do about the same kind of workouts, but I just change my foot placements on a lot of the things that I do. So I'm actually changing my workout without actually changing my basic format.
Cool. All right. So after your squats?
Then I'll do some isolations because by then I'm kind of overall fatigued. I'll do like leg extensions. And I'd like to do a little trick I like to do with those. I like to go, I should do more of a moderate weight. I'll go up. So I'll use my concentric contraction with both legs. But the eccentric part of it where I'm lowering my leg for my leg extensions, I use one leg. So I have to control a little bit harder. So it makes it a little bit more difficult when you're lowering it down. You have to have a lot of control and focus. Mm-hmm. So but on a heavy day, I don't do that because I can't. I'm afraid it'll blow my knees out. Legs on a heavy day, but on a lighter, moderate day, I'll do it double up and single down.
Let me ask you about that. When you do the negative and you're bringing it down, are you bringing it down on the same leg every time, or are you alternating legs?
It really depends on how strong I feel. I do them both.
Okay.
Either or. Sometimes I'll do a set where I will alternate, and then if I feel like I'm really strong, I'll try to do it with all one side and then the other side. And then if that killed me, then I'll end with switching them.
All right, so after your leg...
It hurts so much more to do it a single leg.
Sure, I bet. Okay, so then after your leg extensions, what's after that?
So then after the leg extensions, I'll do like a hamstring curl. I do about the same with that one. It'll be either just heavier day. It'll be both legs the whole time. So then I also do the double up, single down with my hamstring curls as well. It just seems to really kind of target that area a lot. I really want to get a little bit more of a hamstring bulge. That's my goal, is to really pop them out more. So I'll probably do a lot more of the single down, double up. And I like to point my toes towards the muscles that I'm using. So when I do leg extensions, I bring my toes that are kind of pointing up towards my quads. And when I do like hamstring curls, I like to point my toes back towards my hamstrings. It also can help to eliminate that calf assistance. So your calves can't assist you as much in that, so you can focus a little bit more on your hamstring curls.
Then after the hamstring curls?
I usually get my hamstrings again. I'll do a Romanian deadlift. I like them. I think they're great to hit my lower back a little bit, to the glutes really well. And I can do them kind of a little bit on the heavier side too, because I usually use a bar with it. I'll do them single legs. I'm not balanced enough, so I use a bar. I can do more and put some more weights on it. And that's usually how I end that. Or then I might do, step-ups on a bench. Depends upon how I'm feeling. So maybe a step-up on a bench if I still have some energy left in my legs.
All right, let me count this up. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, possibly 6 different exercises for your leg day. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm. That's about it.
So that's like, what, 20 to 24 total sets? No, even, oh, wait, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got it wrong. It's 6, possibly 7 on a leg day, because I missed the calf raise that you're supersetting in with your leg press or hack squats. So that's 6, possibly 7. So, man, I mean, that's a lot. You're doing a minimum 24 sets, and you might be doing 28 sets in the course of a leg workout.
Yeah.
That's hardcore,
probably.
Girl.
Well, I've got to keep my muscle there. It wants to go away if I don't, so I do that. I do another leg day at the end, but everything is done with much lighter weights, and it doesn't require as much work.
Yeah,
I like to burn them, because I think if I want to feel them the next day, I want to feel that I actually did them. I should be a little bit sore. Stairs should be not my friend the next day.
I don't think I could walk if I did that workout. How much rest are you getting in between your sets?
In between my sets, I do, depends upon the weight. If it's a lighter weight, it's maybe 60 seconds. If it's a heavy weight, I do 90 seconds minimum. Sometimes if it's really heavy, I'll take 2.5 minutes if I need to do a little bit more recovery. I really do a lot of it with just how my muscles are feeling that day. Because sometimes I have a great day and I can just power through this stuff, and it's like, this is fantastic. And even add weights and life is great. And other days, you know, you wake up those days and it's just something's off. And so on those off days, I just listen. I don't make it be a certain time or shorten it if I need. I listen to if it says I need more time. I add 30 seconds to sometimes a minute as well.
Okay,
and if I'm in the gym and someone comes and talks to me, then it slows that down as well. So
sure, you know how that goes. So, but it sounds like what you do is you just you go when you feel ready.
I usually do. I usually don't go. I usually do. I take about a minute. The weight's anywhere from moderate to heavy. It's at least a minute in between.
And how long does it take you to do your leg workout?
This one, if I can kind of keep it, I almost do like a circuit because I don't do when I go from one to the other, I don't. I mean, I keep my switching between what I'm doing the same as I do with my rest period. So when I'm done with doing leg press, you know, I'm walking over to the bar squat and getting it going is my rest period. So I try to do it. It's like anywhere from an hour to sometimes depends upon like on a leg day may take me longer. It may take me up to an hour and a half to get done with it, which is long for me. I usually have to split that up because I don't have a total of an hour and a half at a time.
Mm.
So I may start with it and then I may go back and do like my Romanian deadlifts and step ups that evening when I'm done with stuff. So I kind of might have to split it up. I just sort of still get it in though. That's the goal, is to get it in. And if I split it, then they become heavier the second workout as well.
When you do your step ups, you do them on a bench or do you use a stack of aerobic steps? What do you like to use as a platform?
I do them on a bench. I use it on a bench. The bench is kind of high for me. So it works really well. I use one of our higher benches that we have, and I like to step on using that. I don't do a lot of the stack up on the benches. I do it right out there. So I do it so quickly when I'm done lifting that I like to have it right there beside me, in the arena that all the weights are at.
Do you use dumbbells or a barbell when you're for your resistance when you're doing those?
If it's at the end of a heavy weight day, it'll be nothing. It'll just be me doing it. And I might even like do a step up and then step back into a lunge and then step up and sort of do it that with just no body weight. Or just body weight, no added weights. If I'm doing a step up for a step up, I use a weighted barbell. I use anywhere from 30 to 40, 45 pounds is the max I do. And I do 10 each side just to kind of, and try to go as low down, drop my hips as far as I can. And I like to stay on one leg at a time. I don't like to alternate.
Mm-hmm.
I like to stay on one leg at a time and then switch into the other side.
Cool. All right. So that's and then do you go through a cool down process after that? You stretch, do more cardio? Or?
I don't do more cardio. Depends upon my schedule. If I can, I'll probably do a little bit of stretching, general stretching, nothing major. I don't stretch as much as I should. And I do a foam roller. I like rolling on the foam roller, just kind of releasing everything. It just feels really good. It's like getting a little massage when I'm all done. That's usually it. And in the home, I might stretch a little bit when I'm just sitting around chatting and talking, but I don't do, like I should, a regular stretching routine, which is better for your joints if you do that, and you're less likely to get injury. So I know that. So you should do your stretches more than I do.
So then that completes your workout for Monday. What does Tuesday look like for you?
Tuesdays are like shoulders, and the shoulders, I'll like sort of superset some abs with my exercise, so I may do something with my shoulders, do an exercise, and then I may do a quick little 10 to 20 reps of some kind of curls or reverse crunches in between. So I throw my abs, I sort of sprinkle my ab workout, and I don't do like just an ab day, so I usually sprinkle them in if I can with my shoulders day, because I sort of isolate my shoulders. I want to get them bigger delts, so I just sprinkle in my abs that day.
All right, so you got shoulders and abs. All right, so let's go through exercise by exercise.
So I usually start with like an Arnold press in my shoulders. It just start off kind of in a lighter way. I use dumbbells. I like doing unilateral work as much as I possibly can. So symmetry is a big part of figure. You have to have symmetry. So I try to do unilateral work as much as I can. So I use dumbbells more than machines. Most of the machines don't fit me, and then I'm very right dominated. And if I use a barbell for everything, I end up using my right side a lot. So I use dumbbells. I do an Arnold press to start with. Once again, my so-called 410, which we know doesn't really mean that. And then I like to do what's called a neutral grip shoulder press, to where I actually have my arms in a neutral position, so my wrists are actually facing each other.
Uh-huh.
I use them with dumbbells, and I like doing my shoulder press with that. It seems to target my front delt quite a bit, kind of round it out.
Let me make sure I got this. Okay, so you start with an Arnold press, and then the difference between that and the neutral grip shoulder press, it's like you're doing the military press exercise, but you just got your palms facing each other. Is that right?
Yeah, so your hands are in front of, like, in a neutral position. So when your hands are side, your palms are facing towards your body.
Okay.
So you lift up, and your palms are going to face each other the whole time. So as you're lifting, you're lifting straight up over your head, but your palms are always facing inward.
Okay. Got it. I can picture it now.
So they're facing each other. It's not the Arnold where you're facing back and rotating up. It's the everything is in the same position. So you stay in that same
track.
Stays
neutral the whole time. I'm with you. Okay. Got it.
Right. And then it's dumbbell military press. So you got your strongman pose, your elbows are out, your palms are facing forward, and then that's what I go into. And then I'll hit the rear delts. I like doing the high cable pull for the rear delts, so I can reach it and pull it back. I just got to make sure you don't engage your back a lot, but you do engage just mostly the rear delt.
And do you like to use a rope attachment for that? You do it bilateral, or are you doing one arm at a time?
No, I do a bilateral. That one, I use just like the tricep pull down rope.
It's
high, and I grab onto it. So I do that. That one I do bilateral. It seems to be okay with the rope because I sort of can't pull too hard with the right side because otherwise that rope that I have will slide through. So I have to be a little bit balanced when I do it.
Okay, right on. Got it. Okay, so you got those rear delt cable rows, and then what's after that?
So if I do. It's kind of a more moderate weight, and I have some strength left over. I do like a little tricep, and I do it with lighter dumbbells or moderate dumbbells because I want to be able to hit all of them. I do front raises straight into a lateral raise and then a rear delt fly. Sometimes I'll do it like 1-1-1, like it's one exercise, or sometimes I'll do all of my 10 front raises, all the 10 laterals, and then directly go into the rear flies, or I'll do one of each 10 times.
So when you after the lateral raise, you'll just do a little bow and then hit the rear delt fly.
Say that again.
So you do the front raise, the lateral raise, and then you just give a bow and then hit the rear delts with the fly, and then stand back up.
I like to sit down. I like to sit so I don't arch my back a lot and swing. So if I sit on the bench, on the end of the bench, and I lean over to where I'm almost laying on my own legs, it sort of keeps me from swinging a lot.
Okay.
Otherwise, I think I will cheat. Especially if I'm tired, I'll want to swing and cheat. So I'm right there by a bench on one of our lower benches, and I do it, and then I sit right down. If I do it as 1-1-1 instead of doing all 10 of each separately, then I'll just bend over and do a rear, almost like tipping out the tea kettle is what I've told people. Just stick it up and tip your tea kettle out. Mm-hmm. So it's not as effective as when I bend over, and I actually focus on them a little bit harder. So it just depends upon the strength that I'm feeling that day, how my shoulders are feeling.
Got it. All right. Cool. I can totally visualize it. Yeah. I mean, you're just internally rotating your humerus as much as you can and just thumbs pointed down. And arms out to your
exactly.
sides. Got it. All right, cool.
Exactly.
Cool. You do a lot of shoulder work, girl. And are you doing four sets for each of these exercises that you've listed?
I usually do 3 to 4 of my shoulders. Depends upon how it's feeling. I had a shoulder injury.
I was going to say, you start off, you do a lot of presses, girl. I mean, I'm impressed. I mean, shoot, you do an Arnold press, then you do a neutral shoulder military press, then you do a traditional dumbbell military press. So, I mean, and you're doing 3 to 4 of each of those?
I try to, yes. That's my goal. My goal is to get as close to 10 as I can on this. I don't always make 10 each time. Sometimes doing it if I'm really tired. It may only be, I can only pop 6 of those up before it starts really screaming back at me. So it depends upon me. My reps may change, but I try to get at least 3 to 4 sets.
Well, you've got some nice caps on those shoulders, so I'm not surprised at all the work.
The goal is to get them bigger.
Yeah. Well, they're pretty nice the way they are. So I mean, shoot, that's great. This is awesome. I mean, a lot of sets will get you those shoulders. All right, and then you don't stop there. I mean, then you do the rear delt work. So another what, 3 to 4 of those rear delt rows, and then now when you're in the front, when you do your little your giant set here, you got the front raise, lateral raise, rear fly. Whether you're going from one to the other after each rep, are you still doing a total? Are you treating those as if they're separate exercises, and you're busting out 8 to 12, 8 to 10, or 8 to 12 reps of each of those?
Yeah, so if I do those, it's like a total of 20 or 30 lifts.
Okay,
right around there
per set.
I mean, whether I do then, yeah. So whether I do, you know, 10 and then 10 and then 10, but then I give myself a chance to recover in that tricep, because triceps are sort of brutal, and I do them really lightweight. I mean, I can't do them with heavy weights just because it just really stresses the shoulders a lot for me. So I just sort of give myself a rest in between, and then I do them. And sometimes I've dropped weights, which I'm going to try to do a little bit more, you know, where you do the drop rounds, and I drop weight on that if I need to. So if I start off too heavy, I'm fine with dropping my weights down to those little tiny weights that are hidden in the back corner if I need to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your risk of injury is very low. You're using so little weight at that point anyway to be able to get that many reps in and
exactly
and doing that exercise. That's wow. You do a lot of work on your shoulders. I'm impressed. And then do you do even more after that? Is there another exercise that you do?
No, that is. I am done.
I would say so. I'd be like, God, my shoulder. I wouldn't be able to lift my arms up to drive my car if I did that workout.
Yes, you are done at that point.
Wow. Now your warm up's the same as legs, right? You do 10-minute treadmill incline before you get started on this.
Yeah, or I might do a rower or something like that. Just something just to get my blood flowing.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm hard set on one of my whatever machine I work on. It's just whatever feels like, yeah, I'll get on a treadmill today. Sometimes like if my legs are really sore, I may just get on one of our stationary bikes and just sort of do one of those little spin bikes and just do that for kind of gentle for 10 minutes. But then if I do that, I feel like I have to sort of do a lot of those little, you know, airplane circles with my arms to get blood flowing in my upper body. But it's just to get blood flowing.
Cool. Great. All right. Do you work out on Wednesday?
I do. I do my chest and tries on Wednesday. So I combine those two. It's just, it sounds like I do a lot when I looked at it. But it seems to work. I do a light on my chest just because of the fact that I don't do it with the spotter, and I'm really guarded of my shoulders. So my chest workout is on a lighter weight.
And plus, you just killed your shoulders the day before.
Yeah. So I'm not babying myself on that day. My tries I kind of get aggressive with, but my chest I'm not quite as aggressive with. It's always on a lighter weight. It's everything that I can move on my own without any risk of losing form.
Now, are you still staying with the same reps and just lowering the weight, or are you also changing the reps too?
I don't go any higher than 10 on my chest. I try not to just because I know that if I go that, then I'm not really doing much for development. So I try to keep it to where 10 is a good number for me.
Same number of sets too, right? Hitting 4 sets per exercise?
Yeah, unless I'm really sore, then it may go down to 3.
3 to 4. Okay, so let's list off the exercises for your chest that you do.
So usually with my chest, if I'm feeling really good, I'll superset it. I do like a flat bench press and with the barbell, and then I'll do flies, but a flat bent fly, and I'll superset it. I'll do that with, you know, really fairly light dumbbells, something that I can control easy. So it's just sort of almost like a cool down fly. It's not really like a heavy duty fly when I do that. It's just sort of I do my bench and then I just do some lighter flies, something I can do probably more than 10 of, but I stop at 10.
Mm-hmm. All right. I can see it.
Mm-hmm. So I do that, and then I'll just do an incline. I do the same thing on incline bench. So I just target a little different area of the pec. So I'll do it all on an incline, the same thing. I may do dumbbells though on the incline, just because I'm not really comfortable doing the barbell on an incline. I don't like the feel of it, but I'll do it with dumbbells. and then drop my weights and go down to the flies on that one. And I love doing cable flies. I just think they're just, I mean, they make me feel like I'm doing the strongman pose, that, you know, that most muscular. Ah! So I like doing the cable flies, and I do that. I do
now,
a cable fly.
How,
with that.
Where do you like to set your cable pulleys when you're doing those?
I don't do them very high. I don't take them really high because I just don't like to stretch out my shoulder joints. So it's pretty almost straight across from my arms. I mean, I don't do a lot of variations on that because I know my arms are so stretched, because for me to get from one end to the other, I'm already fully stretched. So I don't have to stretch my shoulders too much at an angle, just because I'm still a baby in my shoulders and I should get over it, but I just am mentally there.
So you got your cable, so you got your pulleys at shoulder height. And
right around there, a little bit above.
A little bit higher than that. And then when you say most muscular, do you like to bring your hands together in front of your belly button? Kind of going a downward.
Not quite that low. Not quite that low. But yeah, a little bit like that. Not quite my low. Yeah.
So kind of downward at maybe like a 45-degree angle?
Not like that. Yeah, somewhere in there. And if I feel like it's getting discomfort, then I'll just change what I do. I'm pretty good at changing. During my exercise session, if something's bothering me, if I do an angle and it seems to tweak something, then I make changes as I go. I may drop the handles down and go from the bottom up sometimes. I'll take it up higher if I need to and lower the weight. So I play a little bit, but most time it's pretty much shoulder height and going a little bit downward.
Cool. All right. So those are your cable flies.
And that's usually about all I do for my chest. And I'll throw in some, you know, abs every now and then if I feel like I can, especially with the cable flies, which it depends on if I do like hanging leg raises or whatever. Sometimes it feels good to hang and it stretches out my chest in between. But if I'm really sore, then I'll just do like some kind of bicycles on the floor or something like that, just to kind of keep my heart rate going without actually taxing the muscles that I'm using.
Okay. All right.
And then I do my triceps.
Triceps.
I like doing dips, weighted dips. Those are always fun. I mean, I enjoy those. I do the typical kickbacks. Sometimes I'll do a little twist with my kickbacks where I kick it straight back, and then I rotate my wrist upward, inward and upward, just a little bit, just to kind of feel an extra little, I mean, it just burns a little bit when I do that. I just make sure that my shoulder stays out of the motion at all times, because sometimes when you do a twist, you can put your shoulders into it. So sometimes my elbow may drop a little bit if I do a little twist. I may lower the elbow. I may not have it as high.
Hold on one second. This is during a dip? A weighted dip?
No. The weight dip I don't. It's just a straight weight dip. So I just put a 45-pound or something on my legs. And
okay. What's the exercise
down.
You were just talking about? That you're saying you do the
kickbacks.
Twist. Oh, kickbacks. Okay, a tricep,
yeah.
Dumbbell kickback. Okay, God, I'm like, how are you doing? How are you twisting your wrist, doing a dip, and your elbow's doing what during it? How is she doing? I thought you were doing some crazy Frank Medrano calisthenics exercise here.
That's not going to happen. That man's phenomenal.
Kickbacks. Okay, guys. So tricep kickbacks.
It's a little bit of a twist sometimes. Yeah, tricep kickbacks, a little bit of a twist.
When you say twist, you mean like an internal rotation of your humerus, or an external rotation when you say twist?
Internal. It'd be more of an internal, because you're just going to take it and just sort of twisting. It's not a huge big twist. You're just sort of taking your thumb and letting it go up towards the ceiling. But you really won't go that high. And it's just simple as that. You just kick it back. And you're going to rotate it so that you're going to rotate it up, and so that your wrist is sort of upward towards the ceiling. And it just sort of burns just a little bit. And I always pause. I never come right back down. So you always hit the spot, a little bit of a twist, untwist it, and then bring it in. So it's very deliberate in its motion.
Yeah.
Very deliberate.
Kind of like a corkscrew. Nice.
Mm-hmm. But very, very hit. You hit it straight out, twist it up and hold it, bring it back out, and then come back to your starting stance.
All right. Then after the kickback?
The last one that I do is it's a cable pull down for your triceps. I like to do a single arm to where I actually have the rope pull down. And I'm like crossing, like if it's my right arm, it's over my left shoulder it starts with. And then I'm going to pull it straight down across my body. And I do it single arms that way. So it's not from top to bottom. It crosses my body.
Yes.
And it goes straight down the other way.
Palm up or palm down?
I'm trying to think now. I'm trying to mentally grab onto my rope. So I usually have my thumb is just right there, and it stays right on top of my hand. It goes straight down and back, and it's just right there the whole time. I'm thinking sometimes the grip that I have is so big that I can barely put my hand around it, and sometimes I can fit it. So it's just grabbing onto it like I'm crossing my chest. If they tell you to hold on to your chest and you're going to, I don't say cough into a pillow, but you don't have heart surgery, so you don't know what that means. So just almost like I place my wrist over on my opposite shoulder, and I stick it straight down across my body.
You're using a rope. Not a,
I
not
use a rope.
Not a D handle. Okay, now I got you. So it's a neutral grip.
Okay.
Got it.
Yes.
It's like you're chopping with a sword.
Yes, that's a good example. Yes,
it's a sword.
Exactly.
Okay, got it. Okay, I can visualize that. All right, so you got those. You got
and
the
then I
arm.
Definitely stretch my triceps out.
Hmm. And then you stretch your triceps out. Okay.
Absolutely, because if I don't, I lock up the next day.
Yeah. I'm the same way. Okay, great. And then that completes the workout.
That's it.
I'm going to back up because, you know, you mentioned that you did some hanging leg raises on this workout. Now, on Tuesday, the previous workout with your shoulders, you also said you do abs that day too. Where do you throw your abs in your shoulder routine?
I throw it in when I need a little bit more recovery time. I'm really good about that. So I don't feel like I'm giving myself too much recovery time. And I usually do, it depends upon what I'm doing. So if I'm doing, I don't do it through the Arnold press. The Arnold press, I just do my Arnold press. And it's like a warm-up session for me. So I don't do anything but that. I never stop in there. But with the neutral grip, you know, the regular military press, those are the ones, and I will definitely do some form of ab exercise. I may get on a Bosu ball and do some crunches on that. I may do some reverse crunches or decline crunches. Just do a set. So I end up doing four sets of each of those. So I'll probably end up doing four sets of one of my exercises, say a decline crunch after my neutral grip shoulder press, and then I'll after the military one, military press, I'll do maybe some reverse crunches off the bench, into the bench, and I just throw something in there. So I'll do that, and maybe I'll do a plain crunch or a V-up in between the last cable rear delt, just so I have three different ab exercises during that session.
All right, so you're doing anywhere
almost like supersetting.
So you're doing almost anywhere between 9 to 12 sets on your abs on your shoulders day, and then for your chest and triceps, is it just one ab exercise that you'll do at most?
Yeah, I might do a couple. Between my benches, like where it's flat bench, that superset, and then I may do an ab. And then between the incline one, I'll do an ab. And then I'm done with my abs.
Okay. Got it. All right. Cool. So you kind of mix it up.
I do. And that way it keeps me moving and going. Yeah, I'm not really good at watching the clock and waiting for recovery, so if I throw my abs in, I feel like I'm being productive.
And then Thursday, do you work out on Thursday?
I do. I do back and buys.
Okay.
Just the push and pull is what I do. So I still cannot conquer a pull-up by myself. So I do an assisted pull-up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do, it's very much the basics. So assisted pull-ups, the same sort of reps. Then I do, depends on if it's more of a moderate day, I'll superset my back as well. Like I'll do a lat pull down, regular wide grip, and then I'll do a reverse, you know, narrow grip lat pull down because I know I can get my biceps activate a little bit for that. If it's going to be on a heavier day, I won't superset. I'll just do like a lat pull down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do the reverse grip with it.
Okay.
And then I like to do rows. And I change that, depends upon what I'm doing. If I'm going to a moderate day, I like to do the bent over rows, the barbell, and I'll do, you know, overhand, and then I will do an underhand. I'll superset those. So I'll do overhand and then switch it over and do an underhand. The underhand doesn't always get 10 reps. It's the one that suffers the most because I do it second.
I'm sure. Gosh, yeah, that's pretty hardcore exercise.
Yeah, and so if I don't, if I'm doing a heavier weight, I just do one of those. And usually just the overhand one is the one I'll do. I won't do them both. So if it's a moderate to lighter day, I superset them. If it's a heavier day, I choose one.
All right, so so far you got 3 to 5 back exercises, depending on heavy or moderate day.
Well, and then I like to do, which I've been incorporating, are these, and sometimes I'll do like a dumbbell back rows too. If I really want to do some unilateral work, I'll do some dumbbell back rows instead of a bent over row. So I switch those up. I change them so I like to do it, but I like to do some kind of row.
Okay.
Every back day. And then I really like to do, it's like a single arm lat pull down to where I use the cable. And I kneel, and I have my arm extended up high over me, and I pull it down to where that my elbow can come down towards my side. So I do that on each side. So I like to do those. And those are usually lighter by then because it's just so exhausted by the time I get there. So they're almost like a cool down exercise. And that's usually my back.
Got a good amount of work there on your back. Then you switch to biceps.
Do my biceps, and I do sort of the basic biceps. I love doing preacher curls. I do preacher's curls as much as I can possibly get away with. I think they pop. I kind of got another program that took away a lot of the preacher curls, and my biceps respond. They give a lot more bulge. They flatten out if I don't do a lot of that. I like preacher curls, I like cable curls, and then the alternating bicep curls, and even hammer curls, but I usually pick 3 exercises, so it's either 3 of those, and I try to almost put a preacher curl in it, and then I'll do maybe alternating biceps and a hammer curl or a cable bicep curl, either where I do them both, where your arms are extending and you're bringing them in, or to where I'll extend my hand behind me and where my bicep is actually stretched and then just do it unilaterally coming forward. So I switch those around, but no more than 3 of those on my biceps, because by the time you're done with your back, and especially if I do any reverse grips, my biceps are already kind of fatigued.
Got it. Sweet. And then that wraps up that workout?
That is done, yes.
I don't know how many body parts we have left. Do you work out Fridays?
If I do, it depends upon how my legs are doing. If I need to sort of tone down my legs, they're still just hanging on to too much fat, I'll do a really super, super light leg day, mostly like just bar weight. And it's going to be, if I do squats, it's just with the bar. I might do more walking lunges with little to no weights, step-ups with little to no weights, things like that, just to sort of hit them again without really hitting them hard, because I'm going to go back again on Monday and get them. So I may do that on Friday. Otherwise, I may take a Friday off, because Saturday I'm going to do a plyo workout. So it's where my HIIT training is going to be more of some kind of plyometrics on a Saturday. Do about half an hour, a lot of like pop squats and burpees and split jumps and knee tucks and things like that. So I'm actually working my lower body, but I'm getting a great cardiovascular benefit at the same time. But I do upper body stuff too. So it's kind of an overall body. And then Sunday, I do nothing.
Sunday's definitely off, no matter what. Okay, cool.
Sunday's off. And then Friday may be off. So it depends upon how I'm feeling.
Got it.
So
you got a Monday through Thursday training split. And Friday is an optional day. And if you do work out that day, it's going to be a light leg day, maybe. And then Saturday, you like to do some high-intensity interval training with lots of plyos for 30 minutes, and then right. Sunday you are off no matter what. That is definitely an off day for you, right?
Exactly. I am done.
Sweet.
So I got a week ahead of me. I got a week ahead of me, and I know what's coming. So I'm good at resting on Sunday.
Well, there you go. Those of you who are listening right now, you just got Pam Kyle's dad's complete workout. Try it yourself. See what kind of results you get with that, and make sure you combine it with the same eating strategy that she uses, and post up your results. Give it a shot for a couple, I'd say anywhere between 4 to 8 weeks, and see what kind of results you get. We want to see your before and afters. So Pam, what are you up to, and what does the future hold for you?
Well, I am training to do a show here in Oregon at this point. I'm still sort of prepping, so my diet's forever changing. In the middle of October, hoping to do a show here. It's an NPC show, so I've got to at least maintain, if not get a little bit larger, which is very difficult to do in a short period of time. And then I'm going to probably just take some time off and just build as much as I can, try to add more and more muscle. Mm-hmm. And then thinking about doing another show. It's a bigger show we have in here. So I'm going to do the Seven Feathers here in a couple of months. And I may try to do the Emerald Cup, which is not until, I think, May or April, somewhere in there. We'll see how I feel if I'm able to build. And then hopefully all of us from our PlantBuilt.com vegan muscle team will be back in Austin next year. For that Natural Fit Super Show.
Oh, that'll be exciting! Absolutely, wow, that'll be great to see you there, and good luck on your show. Now, do you do any training? Do you do any remote coaching or anything like that?
I don't at this point, just because my time is pretty full. I work at the hospital, and I'm kind of gone. I mean, I wouldn't say remote training. I do training, but it's usually our members. We have a great deal for our employees. They have this. Facilities, two of them, and they happen to have me there. And I do sort of training for them. I help set them up their programs and talk to them about stuff, but I don't do it outside just because I am full-time where I'm at. So it's just finding time to fit everything in. I'd love to do it, but just finding time is I need to clone myself.
Oh, your employees are lucky to have you. So if those of us who are listening to you right now want to keep in touch, well, kind of look at what you're up to and check in on your progress as you're building some muscle mass and preparing for your show. How can they do that?
They can get me on Facebook. I'm Pam Kalstead on Facebook. That's really all that I have. I've heard kind of low key on the technical aspect of things. I'm just thrilled I actually got a smartphone like a month ago. So I'm just totally catching up with you guys. So Facebook is the best way to reach me. You can leave me a message, ask me questions. That's fine. I'll try to get back to you as soon as I can. And I'd love to hear from everybody and see how things are going with them.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. So check out Pam at her next show. It's going to be in Oregon. It's the next NPC show that's coming up in Oregon. Hopefully we'll see Pam and watch her shine and look at how good she looks. And definitely next year over here at the Naturally Fit Super Show in Austin, Texas, got to see, after a year's worth of work on your new program, see how rocking that bod is of yours. I can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see you again, too.
I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
Well, Pam, if there's one last piece of advice that you could give to our listeners, what would it be?
I don't know. I think it's just sort of a mentality that I have. You know, I can't control, you know, getting older, because we all do that, but I control how I age. So I think if you take your health seriously, guard it with your life, and eat vegan diet, live long, and help those around you.
Go vegan. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Pam. I just got to tell you, it's been an honor to have you on the show. Thank you for being so generous with how much you've given us and about your workout routine, your nutrition routine. It was great getting to know you on the show. I hope you had a good time. Folks, you've heard it. This is the beautiful Pam. Look out for her. Connect with her on Facebook. Again, her name is Pam Kalstead. How do we spell your last name, Pam? Pam, can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. You went away for a second.
Looks like I cut off a little bit. Pam, really quickly, can you spell your last name so for those of us who are listening that want to look you up, how they can find you?
Sure. My last name is spelled K-A-L-S-T-A-D.
There you go. And we'll have your name on the episode listing for on iTunes and on the Vegan Body Revolution website. So, folks, thank you so much for tuning in today. I really appreciate you. I hope you enjoyed this show and you learned a lot. If you enjoyed this episode or the others and you feel that we deserve 5 stars, please do us a huge favor and go to iTunes and give us a review. You can do it by the number of stars and you can write a review for us. It helps us rise even higher in the charts and helps us get the vegan message out that you can achieve your dream body on a 100% plant-based diet and you don't have to kill anybody doing it. So please get that out, especially if you feel that we deserve 5 stars and a review. Also, if you haven't already, pick up your free vegan muscle building guide where I show you how I gained over 7 pounds of muscle in just 28 days on a vegan diet. You can get that at veganmusclebook.com for free. Also, don't forget to join the conversation that's already going on at facebook.com/veganbodyrevolution. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I am your host, Thomas Tadlock of the Vegan Body Revolution Show, and I will catch you on the next podcast.